The first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Acts, the fourth chapter, and we begin reading at verse 1. As they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed. And the number of men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem, with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, John and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is a stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the first epistle of John, the third chapter, and we begin reading at verse 16. "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. Whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us." This is the word of the Lord. The fourth Sunday after Easter is always known as Good Shepherd Sunday. And we read from the Gospel of St. John, the 10th chapter, where Jesus describes himself as such. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on the words of Jesus describing himself as the Good Shepherd in the gospel lesson, but also these words from the first epistle of John. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. This is our text. We're not precisely sure when sheep were domesticated. Those who have studied the subject suggest that it was maybe 10,000 years ago, and they're not quite sure exactly how it came about. But one thing is certain about domesticated sheep. Without a shepherd, there wouldn't be any. You see, the modern sheep is quite defenseless. And how sheep survived before they were domesticated and put into flocks can be observed by observing, if you will, their ancestors' behavior and where they live. Where do undomesticated sheep live? They live in the mountains. They crawl around on cliffs and rocky crevices where you and I, unless we were mountain climbers, would never think of going. Nor do their predators. In other words, ancient sheep lived by hiding. By going to places no other animal in its right mind would want to go. And living in places where grass was sparse, but at least enough to survive on. And water was difficult to find. But you could find enough to survive on. It wasn't a great living. It was just surviving. Sheep didn't begin to really thrive and to dominate the plains until man came along and domesticated them. But what do we mean by domesticating them? I mean, what is it that man did to bring a sheep out of the mountains into the valleys and the plains where the grass is lush and water is abundant? The clue as to what man did might be found in the way sheep are herded, if you will, in distinction from animals like horses or cows. Ever watch one of those old Western cattle drives? John Wayne, perhaps? They're behind the flock, driving it. You might be shooting guns in the air sometimes in order to get the flock to move. But it's not so with sheep. Sheep are not driven. They're led. They go where the shepherd goes, not because they must, because they trust the shepherd. So they do what he says, not by compulsion, but by desire. Not from fear, but from trust. Later on in John chapter 10, Jesus will describe himself as the gate of the sheep. Why would a shepherd describe himself also as a gate? One of the practices of shepherding, particularly in ancient Israel, was at night, often the sheep would be brought back into town, or at least into some kind of enclosure to be kept safe from predators during the night hours. And after the shepherd would lead his flock into the enclosure, he would go down to the front of the enclosure. There he also would lie down for the night. The shepherd was a gate, not to keep the animals in, but to keep the predators out. And if a predator did come along, well, a good shepherd would rise up to meet him. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. I lay down my life for the sheep. What is it that God commands us to do? The subject matter of the epistle lesson I read earlier. It was not a long list that Jesus gave. It consisted of this. And this is his commandment. We believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. In the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, a very similar statement is found. The crowds were following Jesus, and they asked him the question, what must we be doing in order to do the works of God? Jesus said to them, John 6, verse 29, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. What brought the ancient sheep out of the mountains, that sparse, dry ground, into the lush valleys? They weren't dragged down. They were led down. Why are we gathered here today to worship God? God willing, it's not because we think we must, but because we want to. Because we understand what true leadership is. True leadership, as God has taught us through our Lord and Savior Jesus, is not driving people to do something. Not forcing them to do it through fear and intimidation. Showing them the goodness and the mercy that we receive. Follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. It seems to me that our world could learn something about leadership from Jesus. Because no matter what avenue of life you look at, in the employment area, very often, even in the political arena, leadership is not undertaken by people simply following because they trust. In fact, more and more in our world, it seems like intimidation is the tool to get people to do what you think they ought to do. Not through explanation of why this is good for them. Not by explaining how they can be helped and protected and find a greater life through what you want them to do. But by threatening, take away, by intimidating with fear. Oh, by the way, if you don't do what we want, burn it down. So you better. That's the way our world has operated frequently throughout human history. Ancient leaders, more recent leaders, take people like Hitler and Stalin. And sometimes it's just the manager at the local store, or working one of the lines, manufacturing plant, who only knows how to get people to do something through yelling, through fear, through intimidation. And oh, by the way, sometimes this is parents as well. That's not leadership. Not the way God has described it to us in the person of Jesus Christ. You see, our Lord and Savior, though he has all power over heaven and earth, does not have as his goal the display of his power and his authority. I love the words of Philippians, where our Lord's work is described. Though he was God, he did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but instead emptied himself, took on the form of a servant, and humbled himself to death, even death on the cross. Why do we not obey Jesus? Follow him. It's not because we better or else. It's because we know he is a good shepherd who wants to bring us into lush pastures into abundant supplies of water. And yes, sometimes the way to that place is through dark valleys, shadow of death is present. But we follow him. His rod and his staff, they're not seen by us as weapons of punishment, but as weapons of protection. They comfort us because we know he wields them to drive off our enemies, to lead us safely to our home. That is why we follow Jesus. But something we must remember as we bear witness to him to the rest of the world. That though our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has a life that he wants us to live, though he describes to us in Scripture what is right and what is wrong, we aren't going to bring a people to the Good Shepherd through intimidation and fear. Shepherds don't lead by driving the flock. They lead by learning, teaching how people can trust them. When we trust Jesus as our good shepherd, where he leads, we will follow. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.